Open Mic is a podcast brought to you by Bethel Express of America.
All right, so we're back. We have Michael with us now. I hope you enjoyed the episode with Mayana and her story with Bethel Express. I thought it was really powerful, just reinforcing this idea of how important a support system is. We talked about how it's we can't do this alone. We have to have people come alongside us and help guide us and give us encouragement as well as direction in our lives. And it's evident that she has that, and all your kids have that, but it's good to hear someone's personal story. So
yeah,
that was a great episode. If you haven't watched it, go back and watch it. So we got Michael Peace back on the air with us in this beautiful, sharp-dressed attire.
Yes.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about where you were?
Yeah. I just came. I officiated a funeral of a young lady. She made it to the age of 21. She died really tragically. Of course, people would say unexpectedly, of course, as well. But she died really tragically. And, you know, I was, I don't want this to be a down. I just wanted to just process this for a moment. But, you know, I was standing there, you know, looking at her body and looking at all of her friends from high school. She's only 4 years out of high school, you know, since she graduated from high school. And I was like, you know, we are not supposed to be burying the young. I'm in my 60s. I should be being buried, you know. I'll take the rapture, Lord, by the way. But, we're just not supposed to. But, you know, I know life happens and things happen. And, you know, I'm glad of one thing. And I was one of our leaders, he's the one that set this up because it was his stepdaughter's sister. And they were not raised together, but they were very close, but just not raised together. And, just talking with him and everything. And, you know, he said, Mike, he says, I feel like you're the person that could do this, you know, and do it right. He said, they're all 20-year-olds. He says, everybody there is going to be a 20-year-old. And he says, you know how to communicate to 20-year-olds. He says, and I don't think there's anybody better to do this. And so, I was blessed that he thought of me in that way, you know. But of course, at the same time, it's like, well, what you may think that I'm amazing, but the 20-year-olds may not think I'm amazing, you know. Like, you know, parents say to me, you know, or people in church, they say, you know, you need to meet my nephew. One visit from you from my nephew, and he's going to be this. But they're saying it from the fact that they connect because they know, you know, of what I am and what I do. But, you know, so yeah, I make a lot of sense to you because you have a lot of sense. But what about your nephew that doesn't have any sense? What gives you the impression that I would be the one to do that? And I'm not speaking against that. I'm just saying that, what is it about me that would lead you to think that way or to feel that way? Because I don't see me that way. You know, I don't pretend that I know how to communicate, but there are limitations and there are strengths and weaknesses when it comes to that, you know. So I was blessed that he asked me, and when it was over, in your 60s, everybody's young. I don't know what her age is. I'll give her 34 years of age. And she came up to me and she said, Pastor, you were really good. She says, I really like how you say things. Like, you don't stand still. You move your hands. And, you know, she says, you know, listening to you made me want to go back and start reading my Bible again. You know, and I was like, wow. You know, like.
And you probably didn't even say, go read your Bible.
No, I certainly did not. I was trying to be careful with that, but at the same time, I'm not going to not read the Bible, but still, yeah. I'm not going to tell anybody to go do anything. That's what I do. So you can just listen and trust me, you know, kind of a thing. But
wow. I would have said, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's good.
Oh yeah. Oh, okay. Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Oh no, we had a conversation.
All right. Well, you didn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Need to know.
Well, I didn't
finish. Crying minds.
Well, I didn't finish. But anyway, so we talked. And then she said, when she was done and we had a conversation, she said, and you did it with a suit on. How do you do that?
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
You know, yeah, especially for me, you know. But it was that meant a lot. There was another young man there. I thought I had recognized him, but you know, kids grow up and everything. And he came over to me outside, and he said, "You're Mike Peace." I said, "Yeah." He said, "You may not remember me." I said, "Wait." Well, Rangers, this, you know. He said, "Yeah." He said, "Man, I remember you when you." He said, "You were the coolest guy playing drums. I used to really like listening to you play drums, and because I was a little kid, but I had your cassette. Like, you were the coolest guy, and you know, and it just going on and on and on." And I'm like, "Wow, you know, I remembered him. He's big. He's taller than me. He's like almost a foot. Yeah, probably a foot taller than me, but." You know, but he remembered that, and it just blessed me, you know. Mm-hmm. He said, "Man, it's just really good to see." He said, "I think we're going to come to church on Sunday." Yeah. You know, and the other woman said, "You know, where's your church located?" She says, "I'm going to come, you know, I'm going to come to church."
Yeah.
You know, and you never know what you're saying and the impact that it's going to have on people. You never know we know this to be a fact, but it gets more real at times like this. You know, I'll tell one last story, then we can move on. I was, you know, I really go on Facebook 60 seconds before noon, 60 seconds before midnight. That's it. I go on. The notification says that people are talking about you right now.
Right.
It was, you know, on Facebook with Instant Messenger. So I go on to see who it is. And somebody put out there, does anybody know a pastor that's out there that would do my cousin's funeral? And then he said, "My cousin's the one that got shot." And then they did like a emoji with, like, you know, like he was doing dirt. He was doing dirt when, and that's why he got killed. And so somebody said, "Yeah." Right. And I know a guy, his name is Michael Peace. Right. So I'm looking at
you've been
this.
Nominated.
And yeah, really? And he said, "Do you think he'll really do it?" She says, "Yeah, he's mad cool." Right, so I'm looking at the name, and I'm like, she sounds like she knows me. Like, not just like, there's a guy named Mike. She's talking to me, you know, and he said, "But you got to remember now, my cousin, you know, he was in the streets like that." And she says, "That doesn't matter to him. He just cares about people. He's from the hood. He, you know, and he understands." And but she's talking, and she's like, there was no question. She knows me. She wouldn't be talking like this live on Facebook unless she really knew me.
Yeah.
So finally, while she's talking, I get, you know, I go to my other phone and I look up her, you know, her name, right? And I went, "Oh, snap." Because I only knew her by her nickname, you know. I knew her firstly, but it wasn't connecting when I was looking at this, because her last, she's going by her married name. She wasn't going by her maiden name on Facebook. So I did not recognize that name. You know, it was an Asian name. She's Puerto Rican, but it was an Asian name. You know, and I'm like, "Wow." You know, I was like, "Man, I haven't seen her in like 14 years."
Yeah.
At that point, it had been 14 years since I had last seen her, spoke to her, whatever. I was mad crazy about her and everything, but I just never knew. And there she was just talking about me. And I've been asked a few times, often enough, and I don't want to exaggerate, maybe 15 times, you know, "Mike, like, why would you do a funeral of somebody that you knew what they were doing in the streets and everything?" And I said, "Well, you know, the Lord loved them."
Yeah.
You know, the Lord gave them life.
Yeah.
The Lord saw value in them. You know, the Lord sent his son Jesus for them.
Yeah.
What we do with what he gives us is another story. But his perspective, he gave me, from that I just said, like, even if, I always told my son, I would tell him to this day, don't die a broken man and don't die in shame, right? But sometimes people do.
Yeah.
You know, so the least that I can do with that, because the Lord valued that life, regardless of what they did, is for them to at least be remembered with dignity.
Yeah.
And that's why I do these. you know. Yeah. And I've done a few of them, you know. I've done a few funerals and memorial services.
You've
on people.
Done hundreds of funerals over your life.
Yeah, right? Yeah, really, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, very much so. So, you know, it's like I just that's just a conviction. I hope I'm not messing up. I'm hoping that the Lord is pleased with me doing that.
Yeah.
You know, cuz I feel as if he has given me a release to do that, a conviction to do that, you know. Yeah. So
I just want to clarify something for you, honey. When you wonder why you do what you do, it's because there is anointing on you, which is a blessing. It's always a blessing to be anointed.
Yeah.
But it's even greater because of your heart for people, because you could have been just like that.
There's no doubt
and
about it.
You know what
it.
God,
yes.
who, yeah. how, where God saved you from that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But two, you bring an understanding that it's sad when they see nobody in the church wants to be involved mm-hmm. at the end of their life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and who knows what transpired before she died.
Yeah.
And so there's a need for, how will they know unless there's a preacher?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there needs to be a preacher in there to bring comfort, to bring solace,
mm-hmm.
to bring understanding, and not to sugarcoat anything, because you don't sugarcoat anything.
No.
You don't whitewash anything, but you're there because you're a man of God. You're obedient to what he says, and you love people from the beginning when they're born, when you hold them and hug them and kiss them, to the end when you see them going into the ground. And so you don't ever have to ask that question again. To me, as far as I know and anybody else, it's settled. And that's why. So because, you know, you just want to do what God wants you to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been your heart. No one's questioning that. And I believe you continue the path. It's always good to be questioned, but sometimes you don't have to question, you know, because you establish a good track record.
Yeah.
So, and I'm grateful for that. For
thanks
who
for
you
saying
are.
That.
Yeah.
Because I don't see me that way, you know.
Yeah, I know. Don't.
It's better that. It's better
you're
that you
worst,
don't.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We're our own critic.
Right.
You know,
sure.
You're
yeah.
your own critic. And I wouldn't say worst. I think you're your toughest critic.
Mm.
You know, mm-hmm. and we're our toughest critic. But when you see people and the way they talk, it's because you're proven. God proves you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. God approves of you, and you've proven that God lives in you and through you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to throw you. Something that you said to me back to you, which is people don't remember what you say, but how you made them feel.
Yeah, yeah.
So honestly, I mean, it does matter, but it doesn't really matter exactly what you say, but as long as you're there for them,
yeah.
they feel like you love, like they're loved.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's why they're convicted to be like, oh, I need to go right. back to church. Like, it's not
yeah.
it's not you convicting them. It's the Holy Spirit
right.
through how
yeah.
you're making them feel.
And it's, this
right?
is not an yeah, episode about that. You. It is about the principle of love.
Yeah.
Well, we're taking it off of you because you, one, you don't like the limelight on you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the principle of what are you doing for the Lord to help somebody through something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and so that's the...
I think it's the most, to me, and maybe this is just how I was raised, but I think weddings and funerals are the most important things to be there for people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think especially funerals. Obviously, we lost Karen Domina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, pretty recently. And, you know, I was thinking about, you know, if I should go or not. And I was like, you know, I don't technically go to that church anymore, but, like,
mm-hmm.
I know this family.
Yeah.
And it's important for me to be there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
To be with them, even
absolutely.
If I don't go to the church anymore. That doesn't even matter.
Right. Yeah.
All.
And then, yeah.
And I think as pastors, even more, it's like, that is, you know, your job as a shepherd to be there. And it's, mm-hmm. it's great. I mean, it's a rare opportunity, I think, for most, but for you, obviously you have these opportunities that you're not even shepherding the person that you're being there.
Right.
For.
Yeah.
But you're stepping in as a surrogate,
mm-hmm.
you know, and being like, hey, no one else is doing this. Okay.
Right.
Let me give you guys some comfort here on earth right now
mm-hmm.
that are here grieving.
And, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I actually really enjoyed the message that was given at Karen's funeral,
yeah.
Lou Perez.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That touched my heart because my grandma died this year. And like just hearing that message that he gave was a powerful thing. So like even me being in that room, kind of removed from the situation a little bit, still was able mm-hmm. to receive yeah. something from someone that I don't even go to his church.
Right. You know, right. Like, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're in a room with people that are all over the place. Mm-hmm. It's such a rare, beautiful, sad thing that you get mm-hmm. to experience, but like, you know, you just never know.
Yeah.
You just never know.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that.
Shared, yeah. The men that shared at her, we said her celebration of yeah. life, they were in Pastor's Network, but they were still her spiritual sons,
yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. and yeah. they just accounted so beautifully for her.
It was
you
really
know,
beautiful.
I loved her tremendously. We had a special relationship, but to see how everyone that came, you know, we were blessed because our son was able to come in mm-hmm. and it meant a lot to the Domina family that he yeah. came in,
awesome.
You know, and whoever else was there, it meant that much
yeah.
to them. In spite of everything, no matter what, they were there to support, you know, a man that was grieving, a right. husband, a pastor, you know, the pastors and their family, their children and grandchildren, because
yeah.
they celebrated family, you know. And so same with the young lady, there were people still celebrating her mm-hmm. in the tragedy of it, you
yeah.
know. They're celebrating, and that's what was, that's the difference between how we grieve. We don't grieve like those that, you know, like the world does, mm-hmm. but
yeah,
we
have no hope. Yeah.
Not have no hope. We have hope. And so I hope that they found maybe some solace that, they may not know what her spiritual condition was, you know, mm-hmm. There's always weakness in humanity and in humans. And so what was her weakness, you know, or the circumstances, she still could have been in the arms of Jesus. We don't know. Mm-hmm. We won't know. The thing is, you'll find out if you love the Lord, you confess with your mouth.
Yeah. Right? Exactly. One way or another, you're going to find out one day.
You'll find yeah. out. And you want to be on the right side
yeah.
so that you can find out. You know, but either way, if they're not, you're there in heaven.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, yeah. you know, you guys, you know, we've talked about this, but in this type of situation, like what you guys are obviously people that people come to for help.
Mm-hmm.
How do you navigate that, you know, with a lot of people, you know, saying, hey, I need help for this. Not even just like through BE, but just like you as a couple. You know, bringing mm-hmm. wisdom, bringing comfort, or showing up for these. I mean, you guys are
right.
all over the place with this, you know, events mm-hmm. and graduations and weddings and funerals.
Yeah. Like,
how do you stay afloat? How do you not burn out? How do you handle?
I think that? We get so full of, and I mean, as spiritual as it sounds, it's more real out of desperation and desire than it is just being a spiritual thing, is that we get so full of God that it's almost like it's to overflowing. So it just keeps overflowing even while we're giving, it keeps filling up.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really what it is. You know, we have each other, we support each other, we talk about things, you know, all the time, basically. And it just keeps us up there, and sometimes it prepares us for things that we don't even know we're being prepared to do or for, or whom to do it for.
Yeah.
And it just keeps coming, and that's the first part. The second part is I can't believe I'm going to put this over the airways, but we don't really have a Sabbath day set Sabbath day.
Just give me one Sabbath hour.
Yeah, yeah, we just. We decide we're not going to do anything today.
Yeah.
Tomorrow we're just not going to do anything, you know. And we have always been aware of that. That it's like it's not a struggle for us. It's not a challenge to us. It's like we're not doing anything tomorrow. We're yeah. just not. We should say, honey, let's just not do anything. Okay, cool. I said, you know what? We need to just take a break. Let's just take a break. Let's just not do anything tomorrow. But also when she said like a Sabbath hour, sometimes we'll just say, you know, we still have to do something today, but it's not till 4 o'clock. So we'll act like the rest of the world does not exist.
Yeah.
And so we get those. So those are the filling times, I guess you could say. Those are the, because they're just relaxing for us.
Yeah.
You know, just chill out times. And so that is what sustained us all of these years without us being aware. And we learned that earlier on. And the reason why is because when we were in the Christian music industry, you know, you go into a city and you're there all week, you know, they think as long as they're paying you, they've got, you know, you are pretty much, or for lack of a better way of putting it, they're indentured servants, you know. And so we learned then, it's like, we're like, as soon as we get back to Rochester, we're not well, of course, this is not good English, but we knew it. We're not doing nothing.
Don't ask me either.
Yeah. I know the right, proper way of saying it is we're not going to do anything, but we're like, we ain't doing nothing when we get back.
I mean, you have to, for you guys and for a lot of pastors, you kind of have to look at it that way because you're doing something usually on the days like Sunday and Saturday and Friday.
Yeah.
That are your typical days off.
Uh-huh, right.
So if you're like, hey, I got an opening on Thursday, I'm going to take it. Like you kind of have to look at it that way. Otherwise, you'll never get, you know, because you got emergencies that come up. Obviously, today, emergency.
Yeah, who
one
knew?
This past weekend with his brother.
Yeah, who
you
knew?
Know, we ended up having to go out of town and change, switching things.
Yeah,
and actually, this we had to switch.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think something, I've seen people that are really driven to be busy and do a whole bunch of things, and they accomplish a whole lot. I think for us, that God supernaturally wired something in his DNA into us because he's never sleeping. He's always abounding, you know. Mm-hmm. So we're always abounding, doing good. And I just feel that it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works that glorify God in heaven. That's part of what I see is that in order to do that, we trying to eat better, staying healthy, and keep moving, and somehow, you know, we exist off a little sleep.
Yeah, yeah. Get more sleep and less cheesecake.
Yeah, no.
That's kind of that's about the size of it. But yeah, it is, and you know, like we're not trying to be spiritual about it. Like we just learned it. It just happened, and that's how we do it. And we're just glad that it happened earlier on. That by the time we've gotten to this stage in our lives, you know, it's very natural.
Yeah.
You know, very natural, very normal. We don't have to work at it. We just like, hey, that's just how it's going to be.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad. I'm really glad that happened to us, that we're able to do it like this.
Yeah, and you talked about this concept of, like, when your first reasoning on how you get through not burning out is, like, the overflow of the Spirit, right? So when I'm hearing that, it's not just just random, right? Like you take the time to fill yourself up, and you're actively in the secret place with God, you know, reading his scripture, praying, doing all these things. It's, I think, some, like, you can't just run a marathon, right? So, like,
that's right.
you have to start with 5Ks and 10Ks, and you build yourself up to that. So that's, I was kind of hearing this, like, yeah, you need to be constantly renewing yourself in God in order for that to be able to pour.
Yeah,
out,
yeah.
Otherwise, you'll be dry and
you'll
be toast.
You can be a casualty very quickly.
So what's your routine, either one of you, what's your routine like for staying filled? God.
there are three things that I do, and well, we both do it, but I do. In the morning, you know, whether she's awake or not, in the morning, you know, I'll go somewhere else in the house. And I'll spend time in the Word and in prayer.
Okay. Yeah.
And actually, the last 3 years, it's been kind of interesting. I don't want to say strange, but a scripture will come to mind even when I wake up, and I'll just like study that scripture that morning.
Yeah.
Even if I've preached on that scripture taught on that scripture, I'll still go and just read it, study it again, you know, and then pray for it to become even more real in my life. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. The second thing is, you know, we're a musical family anyway, so like,
yeah,
if she sleep, I'll just put on the headphones, and vice versa too.
And no television in the bedroom.
So. Right.
Yeah. Television. Yeah.
Yeah. We just, you know, just remove all of that and just keep those obstacles out. But that has been the formula.
Yeah.
For both of us. And then we always talk.
Yeah. A lot of times we have to process things because so many crazy things happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of amazing things happen. We're like, man.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of processing, you know. And I noticed that I'm waking up earlier too. So when he's gone, when he leaves, I'll use that time to pray. Because if I go down, there's not many places in our house to go. You've been there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Not too many places to go. And you always hear stuff going on around you. So it's very hard, you know, to try and find a quiet place. I'm in a mentoring class and it's like, I have so much stuff to do, but there's so many things that come up, you know, and, so we're just having to process a lot of things, but it has made me aware of the need for certain things in my life, the need, a desire of more things in my life, and one is a hunger. You know, there should be a hunger for the word, and I got to jump on that. You know what I mean? The thing is, staying busy because of the word and what it calls us to do, where we need that. You always say that Martha time and the Mary time. Well, we need more Mary time because there's always something for me to do. And for my life, I'm his assistant. I'm his full-time administrative assistant.
Yeah.
Who you find, though.
Well, thank you, honey. and we don't have to worry about.
Yeah.
Any.
And you know, ministry is ever with us because we live where we minister and we minister where we live. You know, like it's always there. Like literally, you know, there's a, we're learning how to not use certain people's names because they shouldn't be out there in there. But this is one gentleman, he's in a wheelchair now, right? And when he rides by, whether he knows we hear him or not, whether he knows we see him or not, and of course many times we do, and he doesn't even know it, but every time he rides by on his motorized wheelchair, Pastor, pray for me, just as he's driving by. He doesn't even know we actually are hearing him.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. And he just, you know, just swagging
and
it.
And he's calling Adora.
Yeah, and calling Adora, hey, our dog. Yeah, he just, and, you know, like the kids, they just... The kids in the neighborhood, they just pop up. Literally, they just pop up. It's like I'm sitting in the driveway and I'm just, I this happened to be like 2.5 months ago. I'm sitting in the driveway. I'm laid back like this and I'm in the driveway and I'm like, okay, Lord, what is planned for us this summer and everything? It just randomly happened and right. And I'm like this. And you know how you can tell somebody's like right next to you, or near you?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So I lifted up my head and I look. And all five of them are outside of my car window. The window goes down. I said, how you doing? You know? It was like, they were like five kids from our gang. You know, little rascals. You know, they look like that too. They're all of them right just standing right there. And bless my heart too. They said, Pastor, once again, I've not ever told them that I'm a pastor or whatever. Pastor, when are you going to be out on the corner? Because we want to work this year and help you. And I'm like, are y'all for real? The oldest one is 10, you know, but, and it, you know, it's those kinds of things, but it's like, it's ever with it. So, you know, you have to say, you know, I say you better bring your A game or you have to be at the top of your game. Well, we have to be at the top of our A game.
Yeah.
You know, they cannot ever really see us any other way because they think that we're these amazing people. You know, you can talk about how the children look at us just in our neighborhood. You know, they just look at us with so much admiration, you know, and it's like, We do so many simple things, but to them, maybe it's just a consistency without them knowing that it's consistency.
Yeah.
You know, they see we haven't gone anywhere. They see we're glad. They see that we are glad to see them. They see that we make a big deal over them, but it's not an act. That's just how we feel about them. You know, they just, you know, and so we that's been our prayer that we just will have to be at the top of our A game, you know, because you never know, you know, what impact it may make either which way, whether you're at the top of your A game or not. It's like, you know, so there's no pressure. We just said that's just how it's going to be. So, you know, I have this funny story. One day, at this point, Julia was on a TV program on TCT, and we were in a hotel, and we were actually there because I was going to do a chapel for the Bills.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? And so we were in the hotel, and I walk in, and I go up to the counter and everything, and Julia's with me. And the woman behind the counter, I know the look when somebody recognizes you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I've been at this for long, you know, long enough. It's not pride issues. You just know. You can just tell.
Yeah.
And you could tell that, you know, she... I know the look like I recognize them. Recognizes you. And I realize she didn't recognize me. She recognized Julia.
Mm.
Right? She had recognized Julia on that the show with all Women of God on the show. Right? And so... So when we walked away, I said to Julia, I said, baby, you know what? I said, you know what was up with that young lady at the counter? She says, no, what? I said, she recognized you. She did not recognize me.
Yeah.
She recognized you. I said, people are noticing you. You better treat me right in public now.
And behave.
Yeah.
Because people are, because she was so used to me being in the public eye. Now she's on a national program that was broadcast in 118 countries,
yes,
or something like that, in 50-something languages.
Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
So more people are inclined to know her than me, at least definitely at that point.
Yeah.
So, you know, but you never know. But and that's not putting any unfair pressure on us or anything like that. We just know that there is a standard, and we, you know, it's God's standard. Forget about people. If we just live up to God's standard, we'll be okay.
Yeah.
You know. People would know that we're not perfect, and they say, yeah, but, you know, they're trying, you know. Yeah.
Okay, so my last question is, what's the difference to you in authentically living out God and being consistent and also being a human at the same time? Because, you know, you can like put on a good face and
right,
be like, everything's
yeah.
okay, nothing's bad. And, you know, you can say the lines and stuff and just like kind of shrug off. Or how do you find that balance between like, well, yeah, I'm still a human. I'm tired, or, you know, I get upset, or, you know, like what's that balance like? And how do you, you know, process that?
Do you want to respond before I do?
I'm going to probably play off of you.
Okay.
I'm processing okay. the question. I was like,
you know, once again, we pray really diligently, but we also try to hear ourselves speak and try to think like how the people are thinking that we're in front of, even if we're in our front stoop, you know, even if we're in our front stoop, you know, we want to think as much as that's possible, you know, saying you can't really know, but at least think, you know, how do we sound to them? Just because I can hear me does not mean the way I sound and thinking is the same way it's connecting with them. So we're very diligent about that. We're very diligent to say, you know, are you understanding what I'm saying? Or are we connecting? You know, we just ask those kind of questions. Did that sound a little strange to you?
Yeah.
You know, because like it kind of sounds strange to me too. You know, and we're just like, you know, run it back a little bit and just say what we say. We have learned that when things go wrong, how can we make this just funny? So we acknowledge the fact that, yeah, we messed it up.
Yeah.
But can we just laugh about this anyway? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Can we just laugh? And it's not to cover up anything. There's nothing to cover up. They just saw.
Yeah.
You know, but what can we do to kind of, you know, to soften that? Because you know, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, he said, follow me as I follow the example of Christ. You know, he didn't say, follow me as I walk in the perfection of Christ.
Right.
You know, I know we're being perfected every day. I know that. And I know what the word of God says, but that's not what he's getting at in that verse. What he's saying is, watch how I walk out Christ.
Yeah.
Watch how I do these things. Watch me when things go well. Watch how I handle things when things go crazy.
Yeah.
Watch how I handle things when I know that I've messed up. You know, watch how I handle that.
Yeah.
You know, I always tell my son, well, I tell everybody, but it started with him. It's like, if you mess up, fess up so you and God can clean the mess up.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like, man, I dropped the football on that one. I need to correct that. I got to do something about this as best as possible.
Yeah.
You know.
Always staying in front of, you're staying in front of yourself.
Yeah. Right? I like that. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, so that's what we do. We, you know, people know that we're not perfect and stuff like that. And, you know, we just say things for them to know that, hey, look, we get it. We understand that we're not as amazing as you think we are, but we're working really hard at this.
Yeah.
You know, we're working really hard. We're not perfect, but the more we live for the Lord, the more he perfects his ways in us. We're not perfect, but you can see how far we've come since we realized that we were not perfect.
Yeah. I think that's why my two favorite Christian authors are C.S. Lewis and Francis Chan.
Huh.
They both write very similarly.
Yes, they do.
Like Francis Chan's like a modern C.S. Lewis, yeah. But
easily.
It's this very like, it seems circular. It's like a little annoying at first, but you're like, they always are staying in front of themselves where they're just like, yeah, I don't know this answer. Let's talk. And they like process while they're writing. Mm-hmm. So there's always this buy-in of like, okay, so they're processing it and they're quote unquote writing the book.
Right. Yeah.
So you're expecting an expert answer, but it's more like, yeah, maybe it's this or maybe it's that. Like I read a C.S. Lewis book on prayer where he literally went in a big circle of like, is praying just in your private life the only way to pray? Is corporate prayer okay? Maybe corporate prayer is not okay. Well, I think it's okay. Actually,
yeah, he like yeah, goes in yeah, big yeah, circle yeah.
And he's just like, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure this out too. But I think that's so much more engaging to me and disarming when you have someone who you give high esteem, that they're also just figuring this out themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. I think keeping that humility.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to say this, is that, you know, I'm learning and I've learned over the years that we have to have an expectation of what God is doing.
Yeah.
And how he's using us. And know that it's the perfection of God that allows us to show us how to walk in a more perfect way.
Yeah.
Because you're always being changed. You know, you're going from levels of glory to glory to glory. I think that God is still taking us up more levels, you know, of his glory. Mm-hmm. And that it's really the Lord that is doing all of these things. I mean, when we think of some of the things, I need to start writing more about just what God has done. I come with expectation he can do everything and anything and not bring him to a standard where I'm he's the God of doubts, you know, or I'm doubting he's not, you know, it's when we doubt is when we limit God. And I've learned that all these years, you know, I thought of things and how I limited God and how when I took that box off of him or took him out of the box, that he's really helped us to go to bigger and greater things, you know, and to just stay the course. You know,
That's the bottom line is. Yeah, Chicago, the band Chicago, their first album was called Chicago Transit Authority. Yeah. And it might have been the first song of the album, and you hear in the crowd, the whole world is watching. Mm. The whole world is watching. And it is fake. And I was with the riots in Chicago in the 60s. And they just, you know, they took that and put it. Once again, I just realized, Hero, he still knows something about that like era. His father was not even a teenager because I was barely a teenager. I was 11.
The 70s, right?
Yeah. And so, but anyway, it just popped into my head.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, that's just how it is with Hero, small H, and I.
I love Chicago. Anyway, it's a good band.
You know, but I mean, he even knew the title of the album. Like, well, who knows that?
Well, I knew because they got in trouble. They got sued from Chicago because they called it Chicago Transit Authority. That's why they changed to Chicago.
Oh, okay.
Because they're like, hey, that's our name. You can't.
And ain't that something? He teaches me. The student is not the teacher. Anyway, so that was just something that we've resolved, that the whole world is watching.
Yeah.
You know, of course, what they were talking about there was they were saying, look, those protesters were telling the people that they were protesting against, the whole world is watching. The cops, really it was the cops doing what they were doing
Yeah.
You know, during the riots and things like that. And they would say, the whole world is watching. You know, like,
yeah,
okay, you need to be aware of this because the whole world, the cameras are live.
Yeah.
The whole world is watching. And so.
And has that message changed? It has.
Yeah,
not.
How about that? How about that?
The message hasn't changed.
It sure hasn't. And so for us, we had that same mindset that the whole world is watching.
Yeah.
You know, and we're not perfect, but we want people to see how we handle those kinds of situations. Mm-hmm. You know, and some of the kids in BE, we know they're watching us.
Yeah.
Boy, do we know that. And we don't mind it, but it's like, yeah.
Yeah, remember when you said that?
Wait,
oh,
yeah.
I said that? Oops. Uh-huh. That's good that I said that.
Yeah, so that's how we do it, though.
So, yeah, just to, I feel like what I'm hearing is that it's important to seek God in a private place first. Like, mm-hmm. you start your day out that way, and out from that pours out your heart for the people.
Yeah.
It helps remind you of God's heart for his people. I feel mm-hmm. like it keeps you from becoming bitter, because that's really easy to become bitter towards people, especially when you're in ministry for long enough. But just renewing your heart in God and being like, Jesus loves these people. Mm-hmm. Jesus loves his people. And it pushes you to do funerals for someone you don't know. It mm-hmm. pushes you to talk to people you don't know, pray for people you don't know.
Yeah.
And so I think for those who are listening and that are in ministry or want to be in ministry, I don't know anybody that wants to be in ministry that are called to ministry.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Preach, bro. Preach.
But anyone who is called to ministry, I think that's a good lesson to learn. Don't forsake seeking God in that secret place. So,
yeah. So,
thanks for that. Thanks for sharing that.
Can I end something with this? Because I don't know when this is going to be out. But, I mean, this is one who Michael doesn't seek for awards and things like that. But 105.5 is recognizing Michael and his contribution to the community. And so it's since they're celebrating 50 years of hip hop.
Nice.
Mike's been in the industry for over 30-something years, right? Mm-hmm. 36, 37 mm-hmm. years. That they are recognizing him. They're having a private reception regarding him. And they are going to be presenting him with the Hip Hop Hero Award at the... Hip Hop Hero.
I think it's capital H on that one.
It is capital H on that one. Right, at the Hip Hop Tour. That's
awesome.
Coming.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's awarded at the Masters of the Mike Hip Hop, Hip Hop 50 Tour. So we're excited about that.
Where is that going to be?
At Blue Course Arena.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Sweet.
And she said that I'm going to be honored, but actually, the letter that they sent mentioned both of us. It mentioned both of us.
Hey.
Yeah, it mentioned both.
You're in this too.
And he actually said, and yes, you too, you know, Miss Julia. Like, he made sure he put that in there. Like, three different times in the letter, he brought it up about the two of us, okay. You know.
That's
so
right.
Yeah, there's a place for gospel hip hop. And
yeah.
And they've recognized that. And that's nice to know that.
Yeah.
You know.
So what's the date on that?
July 19th is the private reception, and then the concert is July 22nd, and it'll be presented to him at the beginning of the concert.
Awesome.
Yeah. So.
Well, then check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you guys want to, just ending with the thought of, you guys want to donate to Bethel Express,
mm-hmm.
support these two who are supporting our city in all areas, educational, social, you know, kids who need help, parents, families, people that they don't even know.
Yeah, how about that?
Strangers.
Yeah.
Please go to BethelExpress.org and support them there. We love doing this together.
Yes.
This is always a pleasure and a treat.
Yes, thank you.
You're blessed. Thank you.
Yeah, have a great day and be blessed. Yeah.
All right.
Hey.
Talk to y'all.